You're reading verses 21 to the end of the chapter. Actually, let's start at verse 19 to the end of the chapter. Hear the word of the Lord. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is He not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, since God is one, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. Let's end the reading of God's Word. Now let's go to Him in prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your Word. We do thank You for the Gospel, this good news that we have in Christ. And we pray as we hear it this morning that You would open our eyes to understand it better, that You would show us those areas in our own hearts and minds where we have failed to believe it and to take hold of it, and that You would grant us repentance and greater faith in Christ. We pray for those who may be afflicted, that they would be comforted by the Gospel this morning. We pray for those who are comfortable in their own righteousness, that they would be afflicted and drawn to a greater understanding of their need for Christ. We ask for all this now in Jesus' name. Amen. A story is told about a young officer in the Russian army a long time ago. He was entrusted to the care of the Tsar by his parents for a time. Then the Tsar provided him a post in the army as a way to help him get started in his adult life. But the young officer made some serious mistakes. He was in charge of the finances of his division, and one night he realized he had lost a great amount of money for his division, and he would not be able to pay that debt back. And so he got very drunk that night and was preparing to kill himself because of the shame of his failure and his impossible debt. But before he could shoot himself, he passed out on his desk. And the Tsar was known for going about in disguise because he wanted to see what was happening among his people for himself. And he recognized the officer's tent and went in to see him. And he saw the man passed out and the pistol close by, and noticed the books opened on the desk. And he read through them and figured out everything about the great debt. And so he wrote a note in the book and said, "Covered in full," and signed his royal name and paid the debt from his royal treasury. And when the officer woke up a few hours later, to his amazement and relief, he saw the Tsar's signature and rejoiced. Now, that's a picture of what Paul describes here, and talking about being justified by faith. God intervened and provided for us what we could never provide for ourselves. He paid the price that we were unable to pay, so that we could have a right relationship with Him and enjoy eternal life rather than eternal punishment and wrath for our sins. And so as we work through this passage today, I just want to look at four points about justification that we learn from this passage today. First, we'll look at the nature of justification, and the basis of justification, the glory of justification, and then the results of justification. Right, so 4 points there. The nature, the basis, the glory, and the results of justification. And my hope for you today is that you will better understand and rejoice in how Jesus Christ brings us back into our right standing and acceptance with God. Now, this is one of the most fundamental points of Christianity. And I hope that you will preach it to yourself every day after we work through it. Now, this is a truth which gives you hope in dark times and in dark trials. And so, with that in mind, let's look at our first point. That is the nature of justification. Now, first of all, what is justification? Well, justification is a legal term. It means to declare someone righteous. And in the Roman days, if you were accused of a crime, you would go to court, and the evidence would be examined. And if you were not guilty of the crime, then you would be justified by the judge. You would be declared righteous before the eyes of the law. And if you were found guilty, then you would be condemned and wait for your sentence. Now, justification is the opposite of condemnation. And Scripture used the same terminology to describe our standing with God. God determines your standing before Him by how you measure up according to His law. And the only way for a man to be declared righteous or justified by God is that he must have a perfect righteousness. There can be no sin on his account, big or small. Now, that is the standard of righteousness and holiness that God requires for any human being to live in His presence and to enjoy His favor and blessing. And Paul described here several important points about the nature of justification. First, he says that justification is not obtained by your works. We see this in verse 20. And we saw this last time as well. He says, "For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin." And so if you are trying to gain a right standing with God by your own effort, it won't work. The law only reveals your sin. It does not provide a way to be forgiven from it. Now, that was not always the case. Before the fall, God created Adam righteous and holy in the garden, and created him with the ability and the desire to obey the law of God. And the condition of Adam's acceptance with God was perfect obedience. We see that demand made in Genesis 2 when God commanded Adam not to eat the forbidden fruit on the threat of death. If Adam had obeyed, he would have enjoyed life with God. But any disobedience would bring death. We often call this agreement the covenant of works or the covenant of life. The promise of life with God and that relationship with Adam depended upon our perfect obedience. But Adam and Eve rebelled and disobeyed God. And through that act, Adam, as our representative, brought condemnation upon the whole human race and brought us into a relationship of hostility and wrath with God. And every human being born since then is born with a heart of rebellion against God and follows in the path of Adam's rebellion and condemnation. Because of that fall, there is no possible way that we can be declared righteous before God by our own obedience anymore. Now, you give your life to the mission field, it doesn't count. Devote yourself to helping the poor, it doesn't count. Find the cure for cancer, it doesn't count before God. No matter how hard you try, no matter how much of a good person you think you are, no matter how careful you live, you will never have a perfect righteousness on your own. God, as a just judge, cannot lower His standards. You need a perfect righteousness to pass the test of His law, and one sin ruins it all forever. And for by works of the law, no human being will be justified in His sight. And Paul went on to say that again in verse 22. He says, "For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And every man, woman, and child has failed to glorify God. And that's why we were created. We were created to glorify and enjoy God forever. But now all have sinned and fallen short. And so justification cannot be obtained by your own works. Now, that is the bad news of the Bible. That brings us then to the good news of the Bible. You can be justified by faith. God has provided another way to be justified in His sight. A way to be declared righteous and accepted that does not depend upon your own obedience. Look at verse 21. He says, "But now." And pay attention to those "but nows" in Scripture. "But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it." The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. And so there's another way to receive a righteousness that is acceptable to God. It's a righteousness which God Himself gives to you apart from the law. It does not depend upon your own performance. And you receive this righteousness instead through faith in Jesus Christ. Notice again, this is in verse 22, "the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe." And so we receive this righteousness from God through faith. And faith is more than just a system of belief or just acknowledging that Jesus was true in what He said and did. Faith involves trust. You trust Jesus Christ to personally give you this righteousness from God. You rely upon Him to help you. You surrender your efforts to make yourself acceptable to God. And you trust Jesus Christ alone to act on your behalf. And I've used this illustration before, but you can think of faith in this way. If you have a problem with your teeth, you can go ask around for a dentist and get many good recommendations. You can go to the dentist's office and see his credentials on the wall and do your homework and come to the conclusion that everyone is right, that he is a good dentist. But you don't trust him as your own dentist until you sit in his chair and open your mouth and let him work on your teeth. And this trust is very specific. You're not trusting the dentist to fix your car or to remodel your house. You're trusting him to fix your teeth. That is what he promised to do, and you trust him to do it. And faith in Christ means that you are trusting Jesus Christ for something very specific for you. You're trusting Jesus Christ alone to give you this righteousness from God so that God can declare you righteous and acceptable in His sight. And so that you can have a relationship with Him again. That's what we mean when we say we're justified by faith. Through faith in Christ, we receive this righteousness from God, which we could never earn ourselves. And on the basis of that righteousness, God declares you righteous in His sight. Your standing with God is changed from a sinner to a saint. Your sins are no longer counted against you. God treats you as someone who has obeyed the law perfectly. And He adopts you into His family and grants you the gift of eternal life with Him. And so justification is not by our works, but by faith. And finally, notice that Paul says that justification is a gift of grace. And he's basically saying the same thing again, but in a different way. In verse 22, he says, "For there's no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift." And so this right standing with God is a gift to you from God. He offers it to you freely through Christ. You can't earn it or bargain for it or contribute anything to it. God alone provides you this gift the moment you believe. And so that's the nature of justification. You receive this right standing with God, not through your own obedience, but through trusting Jesus to give it to you as an act and a gift of grace. And that brings us then to the next point. That is the basis of justification. How can God give this righteousness to us as a gift, as something unearned or undeserved? How can He do that for sinners? Well, God offers you this gift freely because it was paid for by someone else. And Paul used two important pictures here to describe how God arranged for us to receive this gift of righteousness. The first picture is redemption. See this in verse 24. He says, "We're justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." And so this gift comes through redemption. Redemption is the process of buying someone back from slavery. In the ancient world, if you fell into debt and couldn't pay it back, you would work off the debt by selling yourself into slavery to a master until you paid off that debt and were able to redeem yourself. Or someone in your family could redeem you by paying the debt for you so you could go free. And God used that same picture of redemption to describe how He saved Israel out of their slavery in Egypt. God stepped in on their behalf to free them from Egypt. And here, Paul used that same idea to describe the work of Christ. The guilt of our sin was such a great debt to God that we could never repay it ourselves. We lived in bondage to our sin and stuck under the wrath of God. And so Christ came to redeem us by paying that debt Himself so that we could go free. We see that more clearly in the next term that Paul used. And we see that in verse 25. And he says, "We are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith." Now, propitiation means a sacrifice that appeases and satisfies the wrath of God. God, out of love for His people, sent Christ to come and offer Himself as an atoning sacrifice, as a substitute. And Christ voluntarily answered that call, also out of love for His people. The punishment that we deserved for our guilt was to suffer the wrath of God forever. And Christ took upon His own body and soul that punishment when He suffered and died on the cross. He took our place and paid that debt so that we could be freed from that eternal wrath. The righteous one suffered and died in the place of the unrighteous. And He took upon Himself the penalty of our sins deserve. And through faith in Christ, we receive the benefit of that redemption. Through faith, we are united to Christ so that His righteousness is counted as our own and His death is counted as our punishment. By that union and that exchange, we are given a right standing with God forever. And think of it this way. If a woman falls into such great debt that she cannot pay it back, what are her options? Well, she can try to pay it back through working harder, like a slave, but will ultimately fail because her debt is too big. The other option is simply to marry a rich man and let him assume responsibility for that debt. That's the difference between justification by your own works and justification through faith in Christ. Through faith in Christ, you are united to Christ so that the great wealth of His righteousness and death covers all your guilt and condemnation. And through that relationship, you are given a right to all that Christ inherited through His obedience, including the gift of eternal life. You didn't earn that standing with God at all. It was given to you freely by Christ, who paid it all through His own obedience and death. So we've seen the nature of justification and the basis of justification. That brings us briefly to the next point, and that is the glory of justification. And what I mean here is that this method of justifying sinners through faith displays the glory of God in a very unique way. In this, we see both the righteousness and the mercy of God. And we see it in two ways. We see this, first of all, in God's forbearance with past sinners. In verse 25, He says, "This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance, He had passed over former sins." And one reason that God did not destroy the world with Adam's fall is that He had a plan to redeem many of Adam's children through Christ. So God endured the sins, even of many Old Testament believers, as an act of mercy, looking forward to the time when Christ would come and atone for their sin. But we also see this harmony of the righteousness and the mercy of God more fully in justification by faith. Notice in verse 26, He says, "It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." Now, through the work of Christ, God can execute His justice and at the same time offer mercy to those who believe. If God were to declare sinners righteous without an atoning sacrifice or substitute, then He would be unjust and unfaithful to His law and His attributes. And without a substitute, God would have to condemn everyone for their sin, or He would be unjust and unrighteous to let them live. And so here in the sacrifice of Christ, God is able both to remain just and to justify sinners. His justice is satisfied in Christ, and His mercy is then poured out to believers. But even more astonishing is that God chose to take His wrath upon Himself in order to bring us back to Himself. Christ, as the Son of God and the second person of the Trinity, became a man so that He could quench the wrath of God against those who believed. And there is no God like this, no other God like this. And look at all the other religions and philosophies out there. There is nothing like this. And this is one of the most important truths that makes Christianity an entirely different and unique kind of religion in the world. All other religions and philosophies require you to gain justification and acceptance through your own performance in one way or another. You have to earn your way to paradise or heaven or however you define that. You obey in order to be accepted. But in Christianity, the order is reversed. You are accepted in Christ first, and therefore you obey. And in Christianity alone, you are justified and accepted by God as a gift of grace. So that is the glory of justification. Through faith in Christ, we are justified by God, forgiven of our sins, adopted into His royal family, and granted the inheritance of eternal life. And you no longer relate to God as a rebel before a judge, but as a son before his father. Now through Christ, you enjoy an entirely different kind of relationship with God, where He can be both just and the justifier of those who believe. That brings us into our final point. That is the result of justification. And we can name many results, but Paul singled out three important results of justification by faith. First is that it kills our ability to boast in ourselves. That it kills our ability to boast in ourselves. And look at verse 27. It says, "Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law." Now, Paul was still confronting the Jews of his day here. They boasted in having the law and in keeping the law better than the Gentiles. They thought their obedience would gain them acceptance with God. And Paul here says, no, you're justified by faith apart from the law. You have nothing to boast about over anyone else. Your privileges do not count in God's sight. All that counts is having that perfect righteousness of Christ. Now, through faith, the Gentile receives the same righteousness that the Jew receives through faith. Now, there are no grounds for boasting over each other. And there are no grounds for boasting before God. And you can never say to God, "Look at all I did for you. You have to bless me. You have to save me." And so being justified by faith kills your pride and self-righteousness. It removes that ability to boast in yourself, both before God and before others. Another result of justification is that it removes the distinction between Jew and Gentile. It removes that distinction. We see in verse 29, "Or is God the God of Jews only? Is He not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, since God is one. He will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith." And so here, Paul made the point that God is not only the God of the Jews, but of the whole world. And He offers this righteousness in Christ freely to anyone who will believe, no matter where he comes from. That Old Testament distinction between Jews and Gentiles served a specific purpose for a while, but that time was now over. And it's also through this truth that the pride behind racism or classism or sexism or any other isms that are out there, that pride is destroyed and peace can come between men. And a final result of justification by faith is that it upholds the law. It upholds the law. We see in verse 31, do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. And Paul will explain this more later on, especially in chapter 6. But for now, understand that the law is upheld through justification by faith. The law is not set aside, but obeyed perfectly. Not one commandment is weakened or thrown aside. Christ obeyed them all perfectly. And the punishment required by the law is also maintained. It's never lessened at all. The law is never thrown aside, but fulfilled and upheld in full. And the law continues on as our standard of conduct for those who follow, for us to follow as God's holy children. And we'll see this again later on. And justification by faith does not free you to sin however you please. Like faith trusts and obeys God. It does not rebel and take God's grace for granted. And all these points Paul will make later in the book. But justification, as you see, upholds the law. It's one of the results. So we've seen the nature of justification and the basis, the glory, and the results of justification. I hope this helped you to better understand what Christ has done for you, to bring you back to God. You cannot rest upon your own righteousness. You must trust in Christ alone to satisfy all that God requires for you. Now, some of you may wonder why justification is relevant to all your everyday lives. I'm sure it's nice to be accepted by God, but how does that affect my family life, or my marriage, or my work life? Well, believe it or not, it is very relevant to all those areas. The pursuit of acceptance and justification from God is something that you have been longing for your whole life. You have just been trying to satisfy that need in other ways. You long for acceptance from friends, or your spouse, your parents, your children, your profession, your fans, and so on. You long for praise and recognition. You long to be loved and adored by someone, or to belong to something bigger than yourself. And when that longing for acceptance is not satisfied, it drives you into despair. But that longing is something that only God can completely satisfy. The reason you have that longing in your heart is because you lost communion with and acceptance with God in the fall. You have rebelled against the only one who could love you the way you need to be loved. And you've been trying to fill that void with creatures rather than the Creator. That the acceptance of God, which you truly need and long for, can only be found in Christ. Now, through faith in Christ, you find permanent acceptance with God, a permanent security to carry you through the storms and trials of life and on into eternal joy. In Christ, you are accepted and adopted as a child of the King of the universe. So you no longer fear the smiles or the frowns of men. You don't fear your circumstances because you know you are completely secure for eternity in Christ. Now, that's why justification is so important for your everyday lives. Not a day goes by where you don't need that assurance of your acceptance with God in one way or another. That's one fact which will keep you from sinking into despair in many different kinds of trials, and even the last trial of death itself. But finally, let me just ask you, do you have this righteousness from God? Have you trusted Jesus Christ to act on your behalf as your Savior and your substitute? Well, if not, then consider your dreadful condition as you live under the condemnation of God. Take to heart Paul's warning here, that by works of the law, no man will be justified in his sight. You need this righteousness from God in order to escape the judgment due for your sins. So call upon Christ today. Cling to Him and to all that He has done. And trust Him to save you out of your condemnation and to give you His perfect righteousness. And then you will be finally reconciled to your Creator and the only one who can satisfy and fulfill those deepest and eternal longings of your heart. Let's go to the Lord now in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do come before you to indeed marvel at your grace unto lost sinners. We know that we deserve your wrath forever for all the ways in which we have offended you in our words, in our thoughts, in our deeds. And yet we look to you and trust in your offer of grace through Jesus Christ. We pray you would help us to appreciate more and more all that he has done for us. Help us to see the great sinfulness in ourselves and the penalty that we deserve. Help that to sink so much deeper into our hearts so that we can better appreciate all that Christ is and that he's done for us. We ask that if any here have not yet come to faith in Christ, that your Holy Spirit would work mightily in our hearts to see their need of Christ and to come. We ask for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.